The strategies and concepts discussed are for educational purposes only and do not represent specific investment tax or estate planning advice. Investing carries an inherent element of risk, and it is possible to lose principal and interest when investing in securities. No strategy can guarantee a profit or prevent against a loss. The views expressed represent the personal opinions of the presenter or the featured guests, not necessarily those of USA Financial or its affiliated subsidiaries. Any opinions or forecasting statements are subject to change at any time and without notice. John Scindia is an investment advisor representative of, and advisory services are offered through USA Financial Securities, member FINRA SIPC, a registered investment advisor. Life Stages Advisory, Dean and Remington are not affiliated with USA Financial Securities. Welcome to episode 38 of Wealth, Taxes, and Finances. I'm your host, John Scindia, certified public accountant, and what am I? Oh yeah, personal financial specialist. That's right. These guys are messing around in here today. So anyway,
sorry about that. We're having fun.
Yeah, we're going to talk today. First of all, oh yeah, before we talk, I want to sit there and make sure that everybody knows our email, jscindia@lifestagesadvisory.com. Tell us any different types of topics you'd like to hear, comments, anything else that you'd want us to talk about or discuss.
Tell us you literally hate us.
No. Yeah,
just email us and tell us you hate us.
Well, yeah.
Any feedback, really, at this point.
Yeah, positive, negative. We're here for you, the individual, okay? We want to make sure that this is fun. It's worth your time of tuning in and listening. And we're also going to have we've talked about this before on the YouTube. We're finally going to be getting some YouTube videos up. So we will be doing the same. The podcast will be in video format, okay? So we'll have, what, 8, 10 we'll probably get out? Something like that?
Yeah, I think
there'll be a few back episodes to start.
We've got a lot, yeah.
Yeah.
So okay. If you want to see what Rem looks like, or yeah. John. Or me.
Yeah, Dean's in a few.
Dean's in a few, but he's...
Yeah. He's like Waldo. He's got to like tune in.
You have to find
him.
Yeah, he's always behind the scenes right now or whatever.
Oh, he's
anyway,
he's moving.
What we're going to do today, we want to talk about the oncoming cashless society and what's been happening during COVID here. It seems like it's ramped up quite a bit because people are freaking out about touching anything, so they don't want to touch dollars or money.
Well, yeah, because money's disgusting.
Yeah, and so what they're doing is taking the cards, and that gets us into the cryptocurrencies and all kinds of other things in that, and more, you know, I'm sitting here trying to think of what I've already been doing, and I've been using a debit card for years.
Yeah,
I'll still write checks out once in a while on a few things, and most of my time is spent on, you know, a debit card. But I still have cash in my pocket. And I was talking to these guys today, and I don't think either one of them carry any.
I've got cash right now, but it's because I was going to buy something from somebody on like Letgo.
Okay,
and that was the first time I took out cash in probably like 3, 4, 5 months, honestly.
Is that right?
It's been a long time.
So everything's
time.
Debit card?
Yeah.
Dean's flashing $3
oh,
over.
Big spender.
I've got $3 in cash. This is all I have to my name. I will plug my Venmo Cash App anywhere you want to give me money in the description of this video. Thank you.
But he's got $3 in cash.
On a more serious note, like I said earlier, I really don't carry cash, and it's gotten me into trouble before because the gas station by me, mm-hmm. their cards were down, mm-hmm. and I wanted $6 worth of items, and I only had a $5 bill.
Oh, I've had.
Guess what I had to do?
put stuff back
like a poor man.
Oh, oh, that's, yeah. No, I've been at my company's like parking area, and it was before I like officially started and got my parking pass,
mm-hmm.
and they're like, oh yeah, just park up there, it's a nominal fee, we'll reimburse you at a later date. I didn't think anything of it. I spent the day in there, I got ready to leave, and the attendant's like, that'll be like $6. I lifted the seats up. I was like on my hands and knees finding like, I gave this guy a handful of coins. It's like, just please let me go home.
They didn't take a card at all, huh?
No, they didn't have a thing for the card. And I just gave this guy like a handful of coins. I was like, please, I just want to go home. And he's like, get out of here. I gave him like 75 cents and pennies, I guess.
Well, that's the same thing with like the toll booths.
Mm-hmm.
Like in Ohio, a lot of the toll booths are still cash only. But if you go into other states, like we were down in Florida a couple months back, they all take pictures of your license plate, and mm-hmm. that's how they send you the invoice. So pay it online, you know, when they send you that invoice. But yeah. I always wondered, like, the toll booths around here when you're, you know, driving out of state or going down the turnpike or anything like that, what happens if I don't have cash? Do they arrest me or they make me turn around? What do you do?
They do the photo of your license. I don't know if it's Ohio, but I know in Pennsylvania we were going through and we had spent all of our cash on toll booths just getting there, so we were completely out, and they were just like, oh, we'll just take a picture of your license plate. It's just fine that you don't have cash now, but this is how we're just going to get you back.
Okay.
So it's like a fail safe for some places.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and it's a situation they're not using the cash, but then on the other hand, there's a coin shortage. So on one hand, it makes sense. On the other hand, it doesn't make a lot of sense, because if you're using the cards, what do you need the coins
doesn't
for?
Doesn't make any sense.
You know, yes. Oh, pun intended, I guess. I was
Didn't even catch it.
I over-clevered myself, I guess, whatever. But yes, the problem is, I guess, that I don't understand is, if you're using the cards, why is there a coin shortage if they're going toward that? You know what I'm saying?
What I originally read was that the coin shortage was because the federal mint
mm-hmm.
cut employees when COVID first started.
Well, yeah.
And that was the original reasoning behind the coin shortage. And then everybody takes that information and runs with it. And it's a conspiracy theory for people to track your spending. Well, good news. They're already tracking it, because you use your cards for everything. So if they wanted to do something, they would have.
Well, and I guess, you know, I heard that the casinos are hurting, obviously, and they utilize coins, you know, with their quarters and all that stuff. But you can put your card in, and you have so much on your card, whether
that's
it's $100 or whatever,
though.
And then you play off of that. But, you know, they want to hear that tinkling going in and the people with the coins and all that, and they want to hear all that noise and stuff. But so they were asking the ones in was New York and Pennsylvania, I believe, were asking people, bring in any of your coins, and they would give you like 110% back. And they'd give you credit, gambling credit, and some things like that. But they want any coins. They don't care if it's, you know, nickels, dimes, quarters, whatever.
Well, and they want an incentive to get people in the door, too.
Oh, right. So. To get them back in.
Right.
But, we'd said before that the U.S. economy is based on circulation of money and the velocity of that. So it has to go and maintain it. And during COVID, nothing's moving. You know, businesses are out. Nothing's moving as far as money or anything. And if you're doing an exchange and it happens to be on your debit card or your credit card or something else of that nature, like the Venmo or the PayPals or whatever, you know, you're taking exact amounts and you're having all this electronic monetary system taking over, that when the people end up having the cash, it's like, you know, who is taking it, who isn't taking it.
Yeah.
So I think there's going to be a lot of different aspects of that that people haven't thought of.
With the electronic stuff, it's not even an exact amount depending on what you're using it for. Like if you're Venmoing or Cash Apping one of your friends, like me and you were talking about, like if I send you $10 for something, if I send you just 10, it's only going to send to you like 9 and some change, because it takes out that percentage. So it's
okay.
Well, the way it actually does it is it's an enticing instant transfer.
Yeah. I mean, so, you can do like the 2 to 3 day method,
so
but no one has to wait.
So if Rem sent you $10,
mm-hmm.
it would only cost him $10. But if you wanted to instant transfer it, it's going to be $9.75 into your account. So they're taking a quarter.
So if I want it now, he can send it to me. If I want it now,
they're taking 25 cents off of your $10.
Okay.
But you could put in and say you want to wait 3 to 5 business days.
And no one wants to do that.
Yeah.
And then you'll get your full $10.
Do I have to tell him I'll wait so it doesn't, so I get 10 bucks?
No, it's immediately already out of his account.
So it's out of his account. Do I have a choice to say I'll wait 3 days?
Yeah. Or? Yeah, it'll give you the option.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So when I receive it, I can wait.
Yeah. Whatever. I think Cash App has that too, right? You can wait and yeah, not pay the service fee.
Well, I don't use Cash App, but.
I know. You're in fritz with them.
Stole my money. Yeah, no, Cash App has that. I know Venmo has that. I don't use PayPal, so I can't speak on that, but they all.
I think PayPal takes like taxes and stuff, doesn't it? You don't know.
I don't know. I've only used it for personal stuff between, you know, for my daughter and.
I think when you do business transactions through, you have to pay tax.
I think that's true. I think that's true because when some of that was set up, originally, somebody was trying to pay me something and it was a round amount and I'm getting some goofy amount. And that's what happened is, you know, it was 2 or 3%, or I'm not sure exactly what that fee was, but I'm like, what is going on? I think it was 3%, something like that.
I mean, you're spending like $1,000. That's a decent amount of money.
Well, yeah. I mean, they're making some pretty good, you know, buck on that from that standpoint. But
convenience, you pay.
Yeah. So I know what part of that is the fact that they want to get rid of the underground, you know, business with people, you know, just dealing in cash. Yeah. And you were talking about who was it that is dealing in one of the dispensaries that only take cash?
Well, it's not any specific place. It's just like
they all do.
For the medical marijuana stuff, they have to operate with just cash. Just because of the complication with like federal and state. So they have to pay their employees with an envelope just full of cash. And it's some people, depending on what area you're in, that's a really risky move right there. You walk home with a paycheck for $1,300, just in an envelope tucked in your pocket, hoping no one sees it. But
yeah, and thinking that, you know, we're using the dollar, we're still on the dollar. And then we go to cashless. What happens? I guess what happens to that with everybody then? You've got yen, you've got, you know, the euro, everything else goes to that. It'll get converted automatically, but now you don't have, nobody's got any paper dollars.
Right.
So that takes the underground economies out that if, you know, like the drug dealers were dealing in cash, you know. Yeah, you start looking
cash
at that
app
stuff.
Only.
You know, you've got people that get you run their businesses in cash.
Well,
you know,
they
give discounts for cash, whatever.
I honestly can't remember the exact percentage, but there was this this idea that out of all the actual like currency in the U.S., like only a fraction of it is actual like paper money, because a lot of it's like through the banks. It's just like numbers on a computer saying like, this is how much money you have. And it blew my mind because I feel like an idiot because I can't remember the exact percentage, but it was a lot lower than I was expecting it to be, like the actual amount of real physical money that we have compared to what's just a number on a like computer somewhere saying like, yeah, this is your money.
Oh, well, that goes back to the velocity of cash again, you know. And everybody's got a number that's in their bank account or whatever. But if you would try to look and take a balance sheet snapshot of everybody in the United States and see what those dollars were, you know, you'd have several trillion in savings or in checking, but then you'd probably have a fraction of that that was actually in cash, so to speak.
So I have a question. I don't know, maybe even from like your childhood, this would be different. When like credit cards first came out, there was nothing to swipe them on, correct?
Right.
They would graphite the numbers.
They would do
off
like
them.
A slide that went on it,
So were those cards attached to bank accounts, or were they more or less like a credit type of?
It was just strictly credit card. There was not like a debit card that you would go into your bank. You had that card, you get a statement, you had to pay a check. You know, you had to send a check to them and everything.
So even like when you were a kid, that's how it was?
Right.
So when did the magnetic stripe and the debit cards being attached, like bank cards, come out?
20 years ago, maybe.
So it's, really? This has actually been recent.
Huh. Oh, yeah.
So you used to always, there like, did ATMs exist?
Mm-hmm.
And how would you access?
I'm not that damn old.
Sorry. You know, I'm sorry.
Do you understand what I have to deal with these millennials? Holy crap.
I mean, it's a valid question. You can't swipe your card in the ATM if they're
this yes. is a pen, not a stone tablet. It's like, geez, I know what that is.
No, but seriously, like, what did you use in the ATM? Like, was it just a, I had a PTSD flashback. My parents used Bank One.
Yeah.
Which was, I guess, Chase before Chase.
Yeah.
In a way. And they had a bank card that you could only use at the ATM.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't have numbers on it. Was that how the ATMs basically were?
Yeah. You had an ATM card and that worked to get cash out. You couldn't put a deposit in with that and they'd give you envelopes and stuff and you'd put it in the night drop from that standpoint too. But yeah, I would say, I don't know, 20 years ago maybe that you would have your debit card or your, you know, you still have a credit card, but you could use to access cash, but mainly your debit card is what they came up with to access, use that as your ATM that takes money directly out of your
checking
bank account.
Savings.
Yeah, savings or checking account. And, you know, then now you throw in, you've got the, instead of the mag stripe, you've got the chip on it.
Mm-hmm.
So you can put the chip in and then, you know, you go to the bank and everything and, you know, I get anything out of there. I take a couple $100 out. And that's the thing, you know, you've got the ATM, you still go there. I do for cash. Yet I've got the other cards that I take because it just seems like every time when I don't have cash, somebody asks for it.
Right.
You know, I've gone to restaurants before that said, no, I'm sorry, we don't take anything but cash. I'm like, oh, crap. You know, and then you go in and it's like, I don't have anything.
Yeah, roll your sleeves up and start washing
dishes.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Now I'm going to be an indentured servant for until dinner's paid for.
We were talking about all the options, or rather the locations and businesses that are doing the cash-free thing. And
mm-hmm.
I pulled up a list here. It's got everything from, there was that idea for like Amazon Go that we were talking about, mm-hmm. where it's just a store that, I don't know how they do it, but you just walk in, it somehow knows you came in, you grab something off the shelf and you can just walk right out. Don't have to even talk to anybody. And I have no idea how it's going to work, but mm-hmm. they have that. They've got, I think Disneyland is also working to be cashless. There's a restaurant that was doing a credit card diet day, I guess, just to like test it out.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think we were talking about how like that is going to be weird for like people that are servers who rely on like cash tips, because mm-hmm. you're not reporting those technically.
But yeah, you know, you get the cash tips. The companies that they get have a percentage that they do charge on their W-2.
Yeah.
So they'll charge back something. So they might charge back like the equivalent of, say, they're making $10 an hour. But in actuality, maybe they made 50 during you know, their shift on that hour or something. And if they don't claim, you know, on the honesty, well, right. when they go to pay taxes,
but
then
that
yeah.
never happens. That never happens.
No. So that's what I'm saying about this cashless undercurrent. Now, all of a sudden, you're going to have everybody is going to have that. But if they do it without the cash and you don't have a slip, they don't bring a slip to you and you just go out, how are they going to get the tips back onto that? You know, so
yeah.
there's still going to have to be some type of physical confirmation that's coming out of there before they go into this and allowing you to walk in and walk out of that store. But it would probably be on some type of an RFID chip. The chips may already be radio frequency, you know, on the cards and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, they've got to be read somehow, and a proximity device would be the only other thing. You go into the refrigerator now in some of the hotels and that, and if you pick up a candy bar or a drink or anything out of there, as soon as you lift that up, it's already triggered that.
Now, $7 for a chocolate Hershey bar.
Well,
you accidentally bump the little mini fridge and you get charged $400.
Yeah.
Everything gets rattled off of there. So I don't know if you put it back, if it takes it back off of there or not. So I have a feeling it doesn't, but who knows? It's like, oh, look at that. Oh, that's too much. You put it back and you already got charged, you know? So
right.
I don't know if it takes it off of there or not, but I think it's all proximity that they would have that, which would be cool, you know, to a certain point, but you know, we'll see what happens.
Yeah. I know, the Giant Eagle, I don't know if our listeners are familiar with Giant Eagle, because I think that's actually only is it only in Ohio?
I'm not really sure.
It's definitely just East Coast.
Yeah.
They might have them like PA,
it's just
maybe?
It's a large grocery store chain.
Yeah,
here.
Just kind of a grocery store chain in our area. They have, when you walk in the doors, they have devices.
Little scanner guns?
Yeah, it's a scanner gun. I think you put your card on there.
Hmm.
Or you pay with it. I didn't pick it up and check it out or anything. Mm-hmm. But you just go through the store and you scan all the stuff you buy, and then you can pay with your Giant Eagle app or a card. You don't have to talk to anybody. You don't have to deal with anybody.
Oh, so they got like a little gun that you go.
Yeah, basically.
Which store is that?
Giant Eagle.
No, I've seen it at several.
Oh, have you? Okay, I haven't looked for those, but
it's so weird. All the the innovations that are coming out just because of all the COVID stuff that. Wouldn't have thought to have any of this stuff 2-3 years ago, but now it's like,
right.
I don't know if I want to go back to having to talk to somebody, have them see all my groceries, or even go through the self-checkout, because that's a nightmare.
Wow,
it never
look
works.
At Rem. He's buying bananas. Really? 18 of them?
18 bananas.
So, yeah, it's that's bananas. The thing. Because I had seen before that some of the carts that you would have would, when you get something off the shelf, it would have a detector proximity thing. You just take it off, would have it, put it back into your cart. And then when you went to checkout, you just bagged it and, you know, paid for it that way. So
right.
I could see where the little gun could get you. And the thing is that how do they know if you hit everything, though?
Yeah.
You know?
It's the honesty.
Well,
that
again,
always works.
You know?
100% of the time.
Well, like, I think that that's the thing they said about Amazon, that... The Amazon
Go thing?
Yeah, where if somebody were to steal something, it wouldn't even matter.
Yeah, they're...
I don't know how exactly they explained
what
it.
What did we say Amazon, the company, is worth now?
Almost $2 trillion.
So a 75-cent bag of chips is really going to set them back.
Well, I think what it is they're looking at the percentages of spoilage, theft, everything that goes out. Depending on, you know, retail stores have always had that. And on the accounting side, when I, you know, looked at that stuff before, you can go in from anywhere from 0.5% to maybe 3-4% that's going to be, spoilage or theft or something going out the back door. So if they've got all these proximity things that are going off automatically and there is somebody that can circumvent that system and they've got 1,000 stores, and this stuff becomes rampant.
Yeah, like if they're able
they
to
went from
the
3% down to 0.5%.
Yeah,
it's a win.
I think what happened. I think the way that I understood is that you scan your Amazon app before you come in. Like you can't enter the store until you scan the app.
I was going to say, and then you'd have to have something guarding that,
like
coming
a Sam's
in.
Club, like
kind of
deal.
Yeah. So like, I don't know how you would steal from that in the first place.
Yeah.
Like I think it was more or less like the question was, what if the app doesn't see that I pick something up.
I just know the video that they released for the idea of Amazon Go just showed some guy just walking down the sidewalk and just walks right into the store, walks right past everyone, grabs like a bag of lettuce and just turns and walks right back out. Like, so I had no idea what they're thinking with all
that. There'd have to be something that set it up that you couldn't access that that building unless you were already set up
right for that. I mean that obviously makes sense, but just the way they were showing it was like I don't know, I mean, this is gonna be so weird.
I think though in the long run we're probably gonna, well, I don't know what the long run's going to be, it's not going to be very long, I think that we'll probably be out of cash and everything's just going to be either electronic with like a PayPal situation, with our debit cards, these proximity devices, something else. Why couldn't we have, like your watch or the Apple Watch or chips or anything like that have?
There's, I'll just real quick with this. I saw this video where this guy did like a subdermal implant of an RFID chip, and it was, The reason the guy did it was because like his subway pass was just it was a pain to take out of his car and all that, so he just put it in his hand. So he can just walk up to the thing and just like wave his hand over it and then boom, he's in. But imagine if we get to a point where we can just like do that with our cards.
Well, you have to like
get your debit card on this finger, your credit card on this finger, your bus pass, your license, just each finger, like tap them on. Oh, that'd be so cool.
Well, you just have a little glove, you know, put a little glove and then just turn around and just pop that on there, have something. I'm sure they'll have whatever.
So Elon Musk did the whole like brain chip thing.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see all that?
Yeah, but I don't think there's going to be that many pigs coming into Guy and Jan Eagle.
Maybe.
So the cards have those little, you know, like chips, like scanners where you can just touch them on the, you know what I'm talking about? I have two Chase cards that have that.
Oh, yeah?
One is a like a credit card. One is my bank card.
Okay.
And I was getting gas, and I just touched my wallet
on
the gas pump because sometimes the gas pumps have them. And my bank card's in the front.
Okay.
Behind that is the credit card.
Okay.
It charged the credit card for gas.
Oh.
So yeah, I touched it for different cards. And I have notifications for any time money gets spent. So like, seriously, I think that's like the best way to avoid being, you know, charged for something you weren't, you know, watching for fraud. Just it's in your face. And it said like Chase credit card. I was like, what? I'm mad. I got mad. I was like, why? How did it do it? How did it go through the one card and hit the other card?
So it overrode the cash going out of your check into the credit card. Yeah. At least it didn't double up.
I could have got charged twice.
Well, that's
been cool.
Yeah.
Well, on a more sinister side, like you got lucky with it just being a gas pump that did that. But I think we talked about this on our cybersecurity episode. But like if we move to a system where it's just the cards that you can just like tap on stuff and that's it, people can have like their little like bag with their laptop running and they can get within like 3-4 feet of you and they can just get your card info, get your money, all this crazy stuff. So I don't think it's at a point now where you can just be like next to somebody and take all their money. I think you can just get their info, but still it's pretty
no, you have to have all that those protective sleeves and stuff that they have that
normally it's called NFC, near field communication. You have to be really, really close for it to work. So
hopefully that doesn't.
Yeah, that's the upside of it, is you literally have to almost be touching the item that has NFC
in it. Oh, okay.
So, but it could happen.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we wanted to bring that to everybody's attention and seeing, just start thinking a little bit more about hoarding cash, where you're going to put the cash, better to put it into the bank or at least have something that you can get access to it. It's probably not bad to have some cash laying around, obviously, or in your pocket. But until we get to that point, which I'm sure it'll come a lot sooner than you know we anticipate, but it's just something to think about and to you know be ready for. So. We want to thank you for staying.
I have one more thing.
Oh, yes.
I have one more thing.
Do we have time?
Yeah, we have time.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we got time.
All right.
Cool.
You guys okay?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, go for it.
Okay, cool. a few episodes ago, we were talking about the fires in California.
Oh, yeah.
And I mentioned the sequoia and the redwoods, and you said that I owed you an answer.
Oh, yep. I didn't come up with a random fact either. Dang.
This is from the nationalparkservice.gov. The giant sequoia is the largest tree in the world in volume and has an immense trunk with very slight taper. The redwood is the world's tallest tree and has a slender trunk. There you go.
Has a what trunk?
Slender.
Oh, a slender trunk. Okay.
The redwood, slender and tall. Sequoia, mass.
Hmm.
But not nearly as tall.
Hmm.
Ooh, I've got a fun little fact that I'll take.
Go ahead, seconds. Make it fast.
It'll be fast. So the largest living organism in the world. What do you think it is?
Like probably algae or coral.
John, what do you think? And how big do you think it is while he's thinking about his thing?
I have like several square miles if I had to guess.
An organism.
Living organism.
Air.
It's a... It's this strain of fungus called honey fungus, and it's 2.4 miles across in the Blue Mountains of Oregon.
It's all one actual...
It's all one connected organism, just like spread out for 2 miles. It's the largest living organism because it's all... It's not like broken up at all.
Where is it?
Oregon?
Oregon. It'd probably burn up now.
Yeah. Blue Mountain in Oregon.
Okay. Interesting. We're rolling up on 30 minutes.
Okay. Okay. We'll cut it.
Yeah. All right. Now are we done?
Like, okay. Subscribe, share with everyone.
Yes. Love us, like us, do whatever. Thanks for staying in with our madness until the very end here.
Got
whatever.
A little, off track there, but.
Yeah. But hopefully it was entertaining, if nothing else, this time. I don't know.
I had fun.
Try and keep up. We appreciate everybody listening, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks.
Bye.